My maternal grandmother, Esther Lewis, had memorized more scripture than most people have read. And she was still alive when I was a seminary student back in the early 80s. And she pretty much figured that she figured that the seminary curriculum ought to be memorizing scripture, and that anything else was a colossal waste of our time. And when I was home for visits, she would quiz me to make sure that I was still committing scripture to memory. And she said, "Oh, Philip, Psalm 1. And I said, "Well, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." She said, "Nope." I said, "What?" "Well, that's it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." She said, "No." I said, "Oh, okay. Blessed is the man who walketh not." She said, "Yes, that's it." "Nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers." Psalm 1 begins with a beatitude. Now, we normally associate the beatitudes with Jesus, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Those are beatitudes, those are words of blessing. It's sometimes translated, and it's a good translation, happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. It's very counterintuitive. And Psalm 1 begins with a beatitude, blessed. And when the Bible talks about being blessed, it doesn't just mean, you know, good things have come on you. There are blessings like that. I mentioned it earlier that God blesses both the just and the unjust. The rain falls on everybody. And Jesus went on to say, then we are to be the same, not making distinctions about to whom we extend the love and blessings that have been given to us. But anyway, a beatitude, a word of a blessing, is really about how do you find the way of wisdom in life? How do you find what's best? And from the standpoint of God's Word, that really ultimately is how do you find the way to God? How can you know God? And that's what Psalm 1 is all about. Blessed, happy is the one who... Now we're first told where blessing does not lie. We are first warned against paths that do not lead to God and to blessing and to happiness. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And the wicked are those who reject God and reject God's ways and stubbornly say, "I'm going my way, thank you. I'm going to figure out what blessing is in this life and I'm going to grab it for myself." There's no blessing that way, says the psalm. You won't find it. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. Loitering is always a bad idea. You're either on the move, you're on the move somewhere. Be on the move toward God. Or to sit in the seat of... The one is not blessed who sits in the seat of mockers, and there is no more comfortable easy chair in all the world than those who sit back and scoff. Oh, you and your God. You and your Jesus. There's a couple of bumper stickers that I chuckle when I see them, and I probably shouldn't. And you may have seen them too. I mean, in fact, I probably mentioned them to you before. But one that gives me a chuckle is... born just fine the first time, thank you. And another one is, it's not a bumper sticker, but it's a a fish, and you've seen it before too, but the fish has grown feet, and inside of it, instead of saying Jesus, it says Darwin. And I want to pull those people over and ask them to roll down the window and say, good luck with that. And I get a chuckle out of those, and maybe I shouldn't, because people are lost. It's the way of foolishness. It's a way of scoffing at God's offer of salvation in Christ. How we shouldn't laugh, we should weep. So what is the way then to blessing and peace? The way to God. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And this may be a little bit misleading to a skim through reading, because blessed is the man, blessed is the one, because we can say blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the boy, blessed is the girl, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And we hear the word law, and we think list of rules. And there are some rule lists, some good rules in the Bible. The Ten Commandments come to mind immediately. They show the way to life and peace. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. But the word, the Hebrew word, is Torah. Blessed is the man, blessed is the one, whose delight is in Torah of the Lord. And to the Hebrew mind, that calls up not only the commandments, but the whole of the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? That's Torah. And that's more than rules. That's the story of God's saving love for his people. In fact, for all the world. Because Torah begins telling us about how God made the world and made it good. Step back, and it is the beauty of his creation, and the human being is the pinnacle of his creation, and said, that's very good. And then, right from the beginning, our first parents, we fell away in sin and rejected God and rejected his ways and decided our ways are better, thank you, and we're going to grasp and grab for what we want. And it began with grasping for a piece of fruit, and within one generation it was grabbing a rock for a man to kill his brother. But God didn't give up on us. And God called to himself a people. God called Abraham and Sarah and said, I want you to leave the place where you are, and I make a promise to you. I make a covenant with you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I'm going to bless you, and through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. There will be an offspring. Your offspring will come. And through him, all the nations of the world will be blessed. That's the beginning of the story of Jesus. God's gift of love that he gave to the world that we might have life in him. So when Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one that on God's Torah he meditates day and night. It doesn't mean just meditating on the Ten Commandments, although that's a good idea. It means meditating on the whole of God's saving, the story of God's saving love. We meditate on it like a tree planted by a stream of water so that it becomes part of us. It becomes our story. Now, one of the things about a tree that is deeply rooted, I got to thinking about this week, and God put this psalm on my heart long before the horrible events of this week that we've been watching in the news. God put this psalm on my heart long before that came along. We were surprised by this week. God was not. But I really had to kind of change the direction that this message was going. One of the qualities of a tree that is deeply rooted by the stream of water is that it can stand when the wind blows. And the winds are blowing right now, brothers and sisters. And our world, a whole lot of people are being uprooted by those winds because their roots are shallow. And they're going to be swept, as the Bible says, by every wind of doctrine, and they're going to jump on bandwagons and go out and do violent things that they might not otherwise do because they don't have roots. And God is calling his people in these days not to be paralyzed by fear, not to be blown by every wind, and not to jump on bandwagons, but to be deeply rooted and to bear fruit for him. Just a little illustration. And this little storm that we've had come in is kind of a reminder, a refreshing reminder. When Sharla and I first moved to Idaho 24 years ago, that hardly seems possible. When Sharla and I first moved to Idaho 24 years ago, I had no idea what a microburst was. Now I know. You know, you get these clouds that come over and these winds, you know, just blast. And then you get up the next morning and there's always a picture in the paper of some poor guy standing out in his yard looking at the tree that has just destroyed his porch or his Porsche, one or the other. And now, some of you, in fact, all of you would, you know, look at that picture and think, oh, those poor people that had that tree fall in their house. Only a pastor in his mercenary heart would look at that and say, ha, a sermon illustration. It doesn't matter how beautiful your life may appear, the part of the tree that shows. If you're not deeply rooted, when the wind comes, you're going to be blown over. You will not stand. Happy are those who are rooted in God's word. Happy are those who are rooted in the saving story of God's love for the world that comes to its fullness in Jesus and in his life and his death on the cross and his resurrection victory. Those people will stand when the winds blow. And the winds are blowing right now in our nation. I want to dwell on that for just a minute. another story about Sharla and I, when we first moved to Idaho 24 years ago. I had been here for about 3 weeks, and Sharla and our son Tom, who was an infant at that time, big enough to hold like this, Sharla and Tom had stayed down in California to sell the house. And I was up here and had been here just a few weeks, and I needed a white shirt for Sunday morning. And so I went to the mall, to the Boise Town Square Mall, to buy a shirt. And I was walking up and down the mall, and I thought, there's something weird about this crowd. There's something weird about all these people. And I walked up and down the mall. I couldn't put my finger on it. I'm there. Then, boop, the light went on. Everybody was white. Everybody. I thought I'd moved to Sweden. So, and I'm not going to pretend that white people elsewhere have some kind of deep grasp and understanding of the black experience in this country. But I am going to say that I do think it's very difficult for white folks like us, and perhaps especially in Southwest Idaho, to identify with the experience of our black neighbors. So I would, as a humble suggestion, say, let's learn to listen. Let's learn to listen before we speak, because we don't know. We don't have to agree with everything we hear, and we especially don't have to agree with the dividers and the race baiters and the ideologues. But the love of Christ requires that we listen. Now, I want to just have to briefly tell one story that I had to learn to listen. A good black friend of mine, Jim Logan, is a pastor back in North Carolina. And Jim and I worked together for renewal in the Presbyterian Church USA, our former denomination, for quite a few years. Jim was on the board of Presbyterians for Renewal along with me, and he and I served together on our General Assembly team for a number of years. And good friend, and I have to preface all of this by saying that something that he said to me once just took me completely by surprise, and I want to preface it all by saying I cannot overstate how much I respect this man and his insight and judgment. It was back in the 90s, and Jim and I were rooming together at the General Assembly. We were there as part of the Presbyterians for Renewal team. And it was when the O.J. trial was going on. Remember? And one night, Jim and I had come back to the room, our hotel room, and just to unwind a little bit, we had turned on the news, and there was news from the O.J. trial for that day. And as we sit there watching it, the news was talking about how the O.J. defense team, basically their approach was to put the Los Angeles Police Department on trial. Remember? And they were suggesting, O.J.'s defense team were suggesting, that all this evidence that had been found that linked O.J. to the murder, all this evidence had been planted by the Los Angeles Police Department. And I sat there listening to this, and I said, that is the most ridiculous thing that I have ever heard in my life, that the LAPD would plant evidence. And Jim, sitting next to me very calmly, said, that's not ridiculous. The LAPD has done that for years to get convictions of black men. What? And as a joke, trying to lighten the atmosphere a little bit, I grinned a little bit and I said, Jim, Mr. Policeman is our friend. And he was serious as a heart attack, and he said, no, Mr. Policeman is your friend. Now, just listen. We can listen. Now, I can't understand what it is to be black in this country. There's another color that I don't understand. I don't understand blue either. I don't really get the color blue. I've never put on that uniform, but if I did, I think I might be tempted today to find the nearest healthy person on the street and hand them that uniform and that gun and that badge and say, you do it for a while. Now, of course, they're not going to do that, are they? The other day, the Dallas Police Chief, David Brown, said, we're hurting. Our profession is hurting. Dallas officers are hurting. We are heartbroken. There are no words to describe the atrocity that occurred to our city. All I know is this must stop. This divisiveness between our police and our citizens. You know, underneath that blue uniform are people who come in every color. They need to know our gratitude and our support. Unconditional. The winds are blowing. And when the winds blow, there's going to be a temptation to jump on one of the world's bandwagons to find a secure place. There is no security there. The only security is going to be found and planted in the Lord's, in God's Word, in the Gospel, like a tree planted by a stream of water. Because if God's Word is not telling us who we are, brothers and sisters, somebody else will. If God's Word is not telling us our direction for our lives and for our nation, something else will. And it'll be voices of division. It'll be voices of hatred. It'll be voices of prejudice and hate, because that's what the devil wants. That's what the evil one wants. He wants to stoke the fires of division and hatred. But he's a liar and the father of lies. The place to find the truth. So I'm going to ask you today, where are you rooted? Are you rooted in God's Word? Are you rooted in the living Word, Jesus? Choose Him today. Don't choose fear. Don't choose division. Don't choose prejudice. Choose Jesus. And as we're rooted in Him, as His life becomes our life, we're blessed. Blessed to be a blessing. Would you bow with me as I lead us in prayer? Mighty God, we pray once again for our nation. So much pain today across this nation. Lord, in your mercy, hear the prayers of your people. Send your Holy Spirit to light a fire not of hatred and division, but to light the fire of renewal by the power of your Holy Spirit, that our nation might turn to Christ once again. And Lord, begin with us. Renew us as your people. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, may our roots grow deep in you, meditating day and night on your truth, in your truth alone. God, help us to be a people who know how to filter out the lies of the evil one and the lies of this world, so that we are rooted and grounded only in Christ. And rooted in Him, may we bear fruit in season, the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control. We pray all these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.